So we have English Nakam and English Nabasa. I'm going to review it once more because after talking to the people this morning, it doesn't seem like it was 100% clear what was meant by the English Nakama and the English Nabasa. They are really, for lack of a better term, like two different worlds. They have absolutely nothing to do with each other. They're two completely different tracks. They're explaining the same brisa, but because the brisa was ambiguous, it leaves us with two different options. I am only going to fill it in now according to the maskana of the case. Right? The maskana of Rava is that the case of the brisa is a case where the land fluctuates between Tishrei and Nisan. It's more valuable in Nisan, less valuable in Tishrei. And now this guy is forced to sell his land in Tishrei at the lower price. So the first version of Rashi in the Mishnah Kama, and again, it's clear that the guy is getting Meiser Ani. So there's something Ani-ish about it. But at the same time, right, I'm trying to sort of agree with in Rashi's mindset of what he's looking for to explain this price. You need it to be some sort of justification. Again, we're going to be not just bothered by a little bit, right? If it's just a bad investment or something like that, and he's, you know, losing out, why is my surrounding getting involved? So there has to be something uni-ish about the situation, and at the same time, he cannot be a full-fledged uni. Because if he's a full-fledged uni, then he should be able to collect without us having a new price. So the only cases we can come up with have to fit within that framework. So Rashi has two suggestions. The first suggestion is that he has exactly 200 zuz. Normally, a person who has exactly 200 zuz is considered to be an
Usher.
So this day he's not allowed to collect from. He's not allowed to collect from any of the Matnosenim. Now, again, plugging into the case, it's Tishrei, and prices are down for everybody. Prices are down for everybody. So, and he needs to sell something because he doesn't have anything liquid. So he's not going to have any money with which to purchase food or the like. So we would think to tell him, sell. It's life. The problem though is if he sells, nobody sells during this period of time. Why? Because we know for a fact that the land is going to go back up in value in just a few months' time. Everybody waits until Nisan. But he, because he's poor, he has to sell. So now that he is selling, the Gemara says that there's a chazaka, that the normal amount that land will drop in Tishrei, if you have to sell it, is a maximum cap of 50%. More than 50%, it will not, you'll not lose more than that, it'll not be lower than that. It may be higher than that, maybe you'll get somebody to buy higher than that, but that's the normal cap. So on the one hand, you might say, well, everybody's land is affected. So if everybody's land is affected, then right now he should have the din of, if everybody's land is down because it's Tishrei, so right, and his is 200 zuz in Nisan, right, that's when it's worth 200.
Maybe he should still be considered up.
So maybe.
No.
He should be considered to be an ani. Right?
Full-fledged.
He should be a full-fledged ani because the market is down. Because the market is down. So the Bryce is teaching us a fiddish that even though the market is down at the moment, since it's part of the cycle of the market that it goes right back up, and nobody sells at this time, it's as if he's holding on to property that's worth 200. It's as if he's holding on to property worth 200 zuz. The Gemara says that. What?
He's not considered an
ani without doing anything. Meaning, just on the surface, if we didn't have the finish of this brisa, which we're going to get in a second, he would not have a halacha of an ani. Is that clear? Can we just see the language of Rashi a second? Zovin did the hash. The Tishrei, he's gonna have to sell it now. Mishum did Tzrich Lezuzi because he needs cash. Hilkov, and now he lays out both sides because that's what we need to understand. That we're grappling with. He's on the border between being an Ani and Asher. Ani lo have bito shav el dinner. We're not gonna say that he's a full-fledged Ani that he can take whatever. You know, whatever amount he's given, Hoel will be Yomei Nisan Shavas Kargosa Masai. Because their Nisan is worth 200. How's that an explanation? It's not Nisan right now. Rashi's trying to explain to us why in Tishrei, when the market is down, he's not considered to be an Ani, and he says the explanation is because in Nisan it will be up. So I think you have to say what we were just saying. Right? In that sense, it's the natural cycle of the market that it's going to go back up. So we view the value of the karka, and since people don't normally sell it, so the value of this land on a sort of objective scale is really, it's a 200. If somebody was asking you, oh, what's the value of this land? Not for the purposes of buying it, but you know, the, I don't know, the curious people who are always trying to figure out how much money people have. All right, well, what's this field worth? Oh, that's a 200. That's a 200 this field. I really 200. If I need to sell today in Tishrei, it's not worth 200. That's a technicality of the moment. That's the first side of Rashi. You see the second side of Rashi? Right. Yeah. Second side of Rashi. But at the same time, the Ashir Lohave, but he's also not an Ashir. Ho Lukule Amanami Lohavi Shabin Hashta Messiah. Because, since for everybody, excluding this being something which is his fault, because that was the case that we had in the bottom of Roman Aleph, right? That if he is Poshea, that if the land drops in value because he's a blabbermouth and tells everybody, I'm desperate to sell, somebody please buy my land, well, that's just bad business practice. That's his own fault. We're not going to help him out if that was the reason why the land dropped in value. But because it dropped in value for everybody, and right now if he needs to sell, he's selling at the current market rate, therefore, he's also not an usher. He is Mr. In between, right? He's this in between kind of guy. Because he's in between, we now have a brisa that teaches us a chiddush. The chiddush being that we help him with the missing amount of money. That's the lishna kana. Yeah, yes?
Yeah, the words. Ab alba orte, does that mean that he is not willing to sell it below 50% value, or does that mean that there will always be buyers at 50%?
From the way that Gemara is using it, it seems to be that the transaction will go through. So it requires both. It means it requires that he's going to sell, and it means that there's usually a buyer. And normally, if you put up land for sale, and it's clear that it is below the market value, you will definitely find somebody who's willing to buy it at some point over the 50% mark. Meaning if you have a $200,000 piece of property, and everyone knows that it's worth $200,000, and you're stuck for cash and you need to get out today, at some point between 200 and 100, you will certainly find a buyer. Okay, because this isn't, we're not talking, you know, about scams, what's wrong with it, you know, when you get too good a deal. Getting past all that. Everybody knows this is really what it's worth. This is really what it's worth. Then you will always find somebody. It's mistaber. It's logical that that should be the case. Why they picked, you know, how they did palga, what they did, you know, economic surveys or things like that. I don't know. But that was the assessment that Chazal had. So that's the lishna kama. Is that... Jeff?
I noticed that we said it was a chiddush that he's paying he has half Maaser Ani. It seems like pretty logical. He seems just to be like a hybrid of both an Ani and an Ashir, and it's like Kadin, like that he's getting...
So I think your sense of justice and allegiance to what the Gemara is saying is laudable, but if I didn't have this brisa, and I only had steadfast categories of Ani and Usher, what would I say?
I say two and
I say, what is the market right now?
Again, the same factors that I'm struggling with, I would struggle with also, and I'm not sure which way we would go. If I didn't have an in-between factor, then how exactly would I deal with it? What's perhaps the source that we could have these in-between? So that was a suggestion that we threw out yesterday, which is probably more the second lashon, but maybe something that Rashi has in the back of his mind the whole time also, which is this concept of ani l'sha'a, where you have a temporary poor person. It's not exactly the same case as the ani l'sha'a, but maybe the ani l'sha'a at least teaches us that when we have people in desperate situations that don't conform exactly with the normal conditions of determining whether somebody's earned money or not here, I can use the Ani L'sha'a category to create some sort of equitable solution.
So that the finish is that it could have easily have gone the other way as well.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
Good?
Okay.
No,
so that's...
No.
Yeah.
So then, according to this, when would it be a case of a regular Ani? Only if it's during Nisan, Aniyosan?
Correct.
So... But I don't know how far we're going to take it, because even then, let's say you have a property in Nissan, it's worth 150 zuz.
Right.
But it's also the nature of markets to change. So that could easily become 200 zuz.
Correct. Correct. The difference is, as I'm trying to be clear, the difference here is that this is the pattern that consistently the market uses. Meaning, in Nissan, it is worth this much. It's not that I'm buying it now hoping that it's going to go up, because historically... You know, when the prices in New York City are low, so people that, you know, have the available assets buy New York City, because historically, they go up.
So you would say, like past 3 weeks...
It's based on that. That's what happens to every field. It's not this area. That's the way it works.
Like a certain percentage of
the... Right. Again, you have to know the economics of the time.
So that's
the chazaka.
Economics?
Of course there are ways in economics. Okay. The Lishna Basra... The Lishna Basra says like this. The Lishna Basra is completely different on both sides. The Lishna Basra says, according to Rashi, that this guy, right, is an usher. And at no point, this is important to keep in mind, at no point in any of this case of the Lishna Basra is the guy getting below the poverty line. He will always be, the poverty line is not part of the equation, which is maybe where it comes from. Meaning maybe what was bothering Rashi bothering those who don't want to say like the Shekhanma, is the Braisa left out a very important detail that the Braisa only applies to somebody who has 200 zuz. It's a very limited case. Because if you're less, you're below the poverty line. If you're more, that's not the case. It's only this very specific case of exactly 200 zuz, that's when it applies. So that's a weakness in the Lishna Kama. So Lishna Basra is looking at it from a different angle. The Lishna Basra says, this guy is an usher. And no, so forget now about the 200 zuz issue. The 200 zuz issue is not part of the discussion in the Lishna Basra. The situation, however, is that this guy needs to sell to put food on the table right now. That is the ani aspect of it. The thing which is making him an ani is that right now he has a desperate need for funds. And he doesn't have anything available. Which is very similar to that ani l'sha'a case. The guy who's traveling and has no money at all available. So this guy has no money available right now. What's the problem? The problem is that it's Tishrei. And in Tishrei, when he sells, he's going to have to sell at a significant loss. At a significant loss. So on the one hand, you tell him, listen, what do you want us to do? Maybe you should have sold in Nisan and anticipated what your needs are going to be in Tishrei. And you didn't do that. That's on you. On the other hand, we have some pity. And this guy is kind of stuck right now. So we tell him, listen, you sell, but if, because of the situation or whatever it is, you are being forced to sell below at more than a 50% loss, right? The case we gave yesterday, the 100 zuz field, and the only buyer you can find is at 40 zuz, we will help get you up to the 50% loss marker. Because that's the normal loss that you can expect if you have to sell in Tishrei. So we will give you how many zuz?
10.
We will give you the 10. We will make you whole. So again, why is he getting from... Why are they getting involved in the funds for the poor? Because the fact that he has to do it because of food, because he has nothing available, is an ani type situation. And as long as this was something that went beyond the norm, so the Chacham said that much, we should help this guy out. Yes?
Why isn't the Svara to say, like, you should give him enough to hold him over to, like, to the Nisan time?
So,
where he could sell at the full price, like give him good amount of money, like difference or something. I don't know.
Good.
It seems like an awkward story that we're using.
So I saw. One second. I thought I. I saw it, I don't remember, I can't find it now who says it, but I think it's related to your point. I just want to explain, make sure Isa's point is clear, is that, well, again, I'm not sure, actually, maybe Isa can clarify which situation you mean. In this particular case, when it's dropped below 50, or even in a case where it did drop below 50?
In the case of the usher, when he has to spend...
Yeah, listen about...
Yeah, when he has to pay in Nisan, when he has to pay in Tishrei, he's losing half the value of the field, and then below half is where we're willing to fill in.
Right.
So he'd be losing, theoretically, 55% of the value, and we're paying 5%.
Right.
Instead, just give him enough money to hold him over.
Okay, so the answer is that, okay. So the answer is, and again, I'll present the doubt question, the question where he's confused people. The answer is this. Again, this guy, just think about it for a second. The first guy, in the first Lashon, he's in a pretty bad situation, right? Even if you're at 200 zuz, you're not in a good situation, right? A little bit less, you're below the poverty line. So let's leave him aside for a second. But this guy's in a pretty good situation. And comes Nisan, everything's going to be fine. But he's in a bind right now. So why are we forcing him to sell his field in order to just, let's just give him, let's take our case, let's say it was a 100 zuz in Nisan field, and now he's going to have to sell it for 40. So why don't we, and the answer is that some Rishonim say that's what we do. And I'll just present it that way. You know what we do? We'll give him the 10 zuz and not require him to sell the field.
That makes more sense.
It makes more sense. But you guys make sure that's clear. Right? Meaning, we'll basically say this. And it even goes a step further. Basically, when this guy gets into this, so he is at a ridiculous 10 zuz loss. We can't. Basically, the Chacham are going to step in and say, we can't allow him to sell this field at such a loss. It doesn't help society, it doesn't help him, and we're still going to have to give him money because of this Brisa. So do you know what this Brisa is really saying? We are going to help him out, and this is an extra point that we didn't say, in little bits up to 10 zuz. Meaning we're only going to give him little bits because this guy is fundamentally an usher. So this guy is only an ani l'shav. So you know how much we're going to give him? Let's say we'll give him a week at a time. We'll give him a week at a time. Why are we going to tell him to sell this field and not end up and come out with a loss of 50 zuz? It's a crazy amount of loss if he doesn't really need that much money. So the answer is that the 10 zuz is the cap, because of this calculation, is the cap of how much money we're willing to take from the aniyim. Why do we have to go through that? Because we need him to, because he's taken away from other aniyim, right? He has to fit into some category of being poor. So you're right. Is it fair that this guy, who can't find anybody to do it, gets a free 10 zuz and keeps his field? His neighbor, who's in the exact same situation, who has a 100 Nissan field and found somebody to buy it for 60 zuz, we tell him, sorry, you gotta sell. You gotta sell. At the end of the day, who loses out more? This guy's losing out more because he got a better deal in his field. But why do we make him sell? I'll take the question in a second. Make sure this is clear. Why do we make him sell? Because we can't define him as a halachic ani. If we can't put him into the category of an ani, if we can't put him into the it's a little bit different than what we said until now. It's not a sira. But it's a step further. If we can't put him into the category of the ani, then any money that we give him from the poor people's funds is stealing from the other poor people. It's gezel aniyim. So there's an irony that in this situation, if he can only find a really, really bad deal, and again, I don't know how we assess that he's not ripping us off. We're going to leave the con artist out for a second. But again, he put it up. He needs the money today. We see the only contract that he has is 40 zuz. Then we can't make that loss happen. We'll pay you up to 10. You need more than 10 zuz. You're going to have to take even the 40. You're stuck at that point.
It's really 60 zuz loss, which they're mitigating to be a 50 zuz loss.
Correct. So because up to a 50 zuz loss is a normal transaction at that time. He has to be categorized as an ani. That's the technicality. So even though this guy is going to come out with a greater loss, because he's going to lose, maybe he lost his field and he only got 60 zuz for it, so he's out 40 zuz, and this guy kept his field and got 10 zuz from Matnos Aniyim. Kafaza.
Wait, two questions. So the base din, are they allowed to stop a sale from going through? Like, let's say, because the kids we were dealing with...
I don't think they're going to stop him, but I think they're going to tell him you don't have to sell.
Yeah, but the kids we've been dealing with, most of it, like, it seems that the person who's selling their field, like, in Nissan, right, and they know that they're taking a huge loss, and they know that they're going
to
take... In Tishrei. In Tishrei, right? And they know that they're going to take an even bigger loss, and they're not going to settle for just 10 zuz. Like, they need the liquid assets, like we said.
So it depends how much they need. You're right. But again, we're assuming that, again, you have to just keep in mind for again, we don't know what the numbers are we're talking about. 10 zuz is a significant amount of money. 200 zuz is estimated as the value of a ksuba. So, you know, 10 zuz is a decent chunk of time.
Yeah, I think if someone's willing to lose 60 zuz in order to make 40, they'd probably need more than just 10 zuz.
So then maybe, so then he's going to have to sell. But we have to fit into the halakhic construct. If we can't define him as an ani, then there's nothing that gives us the right to be able to take money away from the other ani. And again, the source for all of this is the fact that we have this idea of ani l'sha. Where does that come from? That's a bigger discussion when we're actually learning how to pay out. Yes?
So, what we're saying here is that if they give him less than 50 zuz...
Who? Who's that?
The
buyer, potential buyer, yeah.
Then we don't sell, that guy doesn't sell at all and he gets 10 zuz.
Correct.
Let's say it's 40.
Correct. Assuming that he doesn't need, again, assuming that all the guy needs is the, again, we could change the numbers to make it more obvious that he wouldn't need.
Like,
it's about $20.
Let's make it the only field that he has in 1,000 zuz field.
Yeah, but then it's not even in the question. He's not even considered an ani then.
Why? If he can only sell, if the only field that he has in 1,000 zuz field, and all he can sell it for is 400 zuz, then he's entitled to 200 zuz. It's the same cheshbon. So maybe in this case you'd see he doesn't need 100 zuz is a lot of money.
Would you say that 10 zuz would last? Let's say it was
it depends what he needs.
Let's say it was special. And he had 10 zuz. Do you think that would last until Nissan?
No, but maybe he has a loan coming in from somewhere else. Maybe his boss didn't pay it. They're on a source of income. I'm not denying and I'm not claiming that he's definitely going to get to keep the field. All I'm pointing out is that he does not actually have to sell the field in this case unless he has to sell the field. You're right, if he has to, then he has to.
I thought you said you weren't sure. This is something we talked about.
No, this is different than we were talking yesterday, but you missed what you were at. Okay. Is it the Lishna Basra?
Lishna Basra.
Yeah.
Why is he entitled to 100 sesos here? 400 is more than 2.
Because again, case the Lishna Basra has not yet. It's all in the Lishna Basra. The Lishna Basra has nothing to do with 200 zuz. Lishna Basra has nothing to do with 200 zuz. Okay. So that's the Lishna Basra. Lishna Basra is that little added piece from Yitzhak yesterday.
Sorry, I get that part, but what's the thing that you're showing on the left? The 60?
I'll just say very quickly, what I got is that if he, in case that case, he would have to sell it, even though he would be losing 40 zuz, but in the 100 case, when he drops to 40 and you get to 10, if 10 is enough to hold him over, we would not actually make him sell the field, according to this definition.
So why just 60?
Because that case, because he didn't get the 50%, he would actually have to sell the field, even though because he got a better deal, he's going to end up getting a bigger loss of money. Because he actually has to sell. Okay, so what's the connection now to the Zijin? So says Lo Shekama and Lo Shebasra. So says the Gemara. And again, you have to hold cup. You have to remember that there are two things going on in the sugya. The original kasha is what we called yesterday, right? Meitav v Yashiv. And Meitav against Yashiv, which one prevails? That's why all this is being put in. The original answer of Balkarpo versus Midaito was rejected. That's not the answer. So this is somehow supposed to be an attempt at doing that. Once this attempt doesn't work, we are going to continue trying to explain of what use is this brisa to comparing it to anything. That no longer will answer the Yashiv Meitav issue, and then we'll have to come back so to answer the Yashiv Meitav issue. Okay. So says the Gemara, Vahafanami Sarabosai, Vahafanami Gavin Ezekiel. Same thing when it comes to Nezikin. What does Vahafanami Gavin Ezekiel mean? So Rashi says, Vahafanami Gavin Ezekiel, Nami Vahafim turns to cry. You can use the same solution that Rabba used to explain the din of the Braisa. You can use the same solution to explain the contradiction between Meitav and Yashiv. How? That the land is worth more than a Nisan, that part's the same, but the Tishrei is old, and the Tishrei is less. And the guy damages 100 mana in Tishrei. And now he's coming to collect from the land of the Mazik with the Yidis, Yidis, and he should be able to collect the Yiddish, because the Torah says Meitav. So that part is fairly straightforward, right? Right, so you should be getting good, and because it's Tishrei, when the land is worth less, versus Nisan, he will get a bigger piece of land for the same exact value. For the same exact value.
If they get the damage out of Tishrei, you should not be getting
it. No, no Yiddish from here.
It's not as good.
No Yiddish. These are just facts so far. Okay, but now what happens? So I'm not going to be eating din. So the din is that he should get idis. Vihi amar lei. But what if the nizak turns to mazik? If the nizak turns to mazik and says, "Have we bainanis tveipurta? Give me more bainanis than the amount of idis that I am getting." And I'll take that instead. Meaning, I'm not asking for more value. If the damage was $100, right, I could get that in this form, or I can get it in Bainanus form. But all I'm getting in the end is $100, right? Caveat here is that within each, there's the, each one has the Tishrei value and the Nisan value. Okay? So now.
So you get the most land Tishrei made in this, is the most amount of land.
Most amount of physical land, correct. The value is the same, but if I'm getting cheaper land, I don't get more. If it's per square foot, right? If we're talking, If Idis is $50 per square foot, depends on the time of year, it's gonna get confusing. Let's leave the numbers out for the moment. unless we need it. Okay. So the din is that right now he should be getting in this at the tishrei rate. This is Maytav. If it's tishrei right now, right? Everything happens in tishrei, right? So that's what the nizak is entitled to. But the nizak comes along and he says, listen, your interest field is all the way over there. I appreciate you're going to give that to me. But I have a field right next to your business field. So you know what? I'm not going to take any more value. I'm still getting $100. But I want to take more of Bainanus. But obviously, I'm assuming that I'm getting it at the Tishrei rate. Because that's the going rate right now. So that's his counteroffer. Hold on to your Maytav. Do what you want with it. But I want to take Bainanus of a larger piece of Bainanus at the Tishrei rate. So then, the Gemara says, then you can counter Amar Lei, the Mazi can respond, Isha Kalta Kedincha Shko Kedahashka. If you want to take what you're entitled to Min Hadin, this, right? In this at Tishrei rate, you'll take the Yiddis, and you get it at the Tishrei rate. That's what you're entitled to right now. Once you're asking me for an exception, below Shakil Kiyukra Dil Kame. Once you want to take Bainanus, if you want to take Bainanus, I'll give you Bainanus, but I'll give you Bainanus at the Nisan rate. And at the Nisan rate, you will get a smaller piece of Bainanus. You're always getting your $100, right? There's no question you come out with $100. The question is it $100 of Iddis? Is it $100 of Bainanus? Is it $100 of Iddis at the current rate in Tishrei? Or is it $100 of Iddis at the rate in Nisan? Is it $100 of Bainanus at the Tishrei rate? Or is it $100 of Bainanus at the Nisan rate? So the Nizak thinks, listen, I'm in control, and of course I can demand whatever I want. If I can demand Iddis, Kal Vachomer, then I should be able to demand the Bainanus. And the other guy responds, no, if you want it, what you're entitled to, the Torah didn't say Maytav, or X, or Y, whatever you want. Torah says, you get Maytav. I'll give you Maytav according to this rate. If you don't want according to this, I still owe you $100. I can't get around that. But I'm going to give it to you at the other rate. How do I know that there's meaning to the Nisan rate in Tishrei? That there's significance to it. It doesn't exist right now. How do I know that there's significance to it? In this case. Because in this case, we always kept the Nisan rate in the back of our minds as something which almost exists right now. Because if he would say to him, I'm going to give it to you at a make-over rate, that doesn't seem like it's part of the discussion. It's only because there's this natural cycle of up and down, which tells us that, even in Tishrei, when it's down, since the natural cycle is that it's going back up, he can potentially say that. Yeah.
All right, so, why is it like he's sort of getting punished for, wouldn't you think the Mazik would rather give over worse land, more of worse land than less of better land, right?
So it's a good question. Again, let's just broaden that question. I trust you didn't answer the question first. Your question is, what's the Svara? What right or ability does the Mazik have to counter this way? Why would he think that I can push you up to a different criterion?
Whose choice is it? Neither can the Mazik really have to agree. How does this work?
That's a good question. That's going to be where Rashi is going to explain this case. Basically, the Mazik is saying, basically what we're saying at this point is that the Mazik has the right to demand this. Once the Mazik wants to change it, then I have the right to change the rate. I'm sorry, correct. The nizak has the right to demand meitav.
Once you penalize it for
it. Penalize is the right word, but we'll see how it works. He's going to get it at a different rate. Yeah.
Is the reason why the mazik is doing this because he knows the bayonis in the future is going to be worth more than the edus he's currently giving him?
No.
So the mazik can benefit in the future?
No.
What's the reason for this? He just lost the...
Save money. Why is the mazik buying this? He wants to save money.
What are you going to save money?
Well, he's going to be giving him right now a smaller piece of land than he would be giving him even to Sherry. I'm giving
that's
up.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh,
so
yeah.
In the future, the bayonis that he gives him with the tishrei is going to be worth more than the edus that he gives him with the tishrei currently, and in the future. In the future, the bayonis is going to be worth more than the edus that he gives him.
No, I have no idea. I don't know if that's true.
That would make sense.
So give me an explanation why you want to do that.
Why would you want this?
Why the mazik would.
Why the mazik would be
accepted to charge him? Bainan is at the Nissan rate currently.
As opposed to the Tishrei rate?
Yeah.
I will be physically giving up less land right now.
What's a big deal about that?
About giving up
land? If you're giving him Edus land, you would think that, oh, you'll be losing out in the future. More so because...
I will.
But
now I'm trying to take
advantage.
Basically what's happening is he's saying, I see that you really want the Bainanist. So who has the upper hand right now in making this
worse
deal?
Worse than upper hand.
These are shit.
I'm gonna give you the worst of what I have. If you want Bainanis, it's worse. I'll give it to you. Why do I care what you want from me? If it's better for me, I'll give it to you. I don't understand what you're saying.
Why is it?
I don't understand what you're saying. Why? Let's say that a quarter acre, right, of Bainanis, right. In Tishrei equals a fifth an acre of Bainanis in Nisan. Now I'm coming to you.
Would it be the other way?
No, I'm giving up more or less a quarter is larger than a fifth.
Yeah.
Okay. It's getting up 25% of my field or 20% of my field.
It's going to be worth less in the future, you're saying?
The land goes up in Nisan. It's going to go down to Tishrei after that. This is the cycle. This is where it always goes. But right now it's Tishrei. So now I have a choice. It is Gimel Tishrei in some Gedalia. All this has happened, and he comes and wants to collect. Now I have a choice. Why I get that choice, we haven't answered yet. I'm trying to get there. But we have to do the why out for a second. I have a choice, basically, to either give you a quarter acre of my field, or a fifth of an acre of my field. What would I rather give you? Be gone. You can either have a choice, the exact same, to get rid of the same $100 obligation. You can give up a quarter of your field, or a fifth of your field. What would you rather do? Just answer the question.
I would love to answer your question, but it's dependent on a factor.
No, it's not. It's not dependent on any factor.
It's dependent on a huge factor. It's dependent on how good... How much fruit is that acre going to yield me versus the other?
That's determined in the value. That's how we get to the value of $100.
I mean, in the future.
We know that it's all the same. It's all the same.
But in the future, the Bainanis field seems like it's going to be worth more in Nissan. That's what I'm saying. Because now
we're not comparing the Bainanis field to the Yiddish field. We're comparing the Bainanis field to the Bainanis field. That's my question right now.
Okay.
You have a choice.
Okay.
Which one?
I'll give you the fifth, 100%.
Which one?
I'll give you the fifth. I'd rather give you less than five.
Okay. That's the answer.
So that's not the case over here.
Yes, it is.
You're giving either a certain amount of beta to field, or you're giving him less.
Okay. Let's see if we can break this confusion correctly. We are the Nizak. And the Nizak says, "Have to be a beta to field, the half that's paid for it, the united voice of the Mesa lead the Eunice." If the Nizak says, give me Bainanis according to the rate now, more than I would have been given from the Edis, because it's worth less, lo matzi l'mechviye. He cannot force him. Elo amar le mazik, the mazik can say, ishakalto bid the Edis, tidincha shko. I have no problem giving you meitav at the tishrei rate. I'm going to be giving up a lot. But I understand that's what the Torah allows you to get. And I don't have to budge from that. I can say, go fly a kite. I'm not giving you my bayonets. for whatever the reason is, my bainus belonged to my Elta Zeta, and it's been passed down for generations. It has a lot of sentimental value to me. I don't want to give up my bainus. But for the right price, I'll give up my bainus. But, but if not, shkomi bainus kiyukro dilikame. Then you can do it according to the other rate. Whatever his calculation is, he's saying, the mazik is saying, you're right. This is what the Torah provides you. This is what the Torah provides you. If that's what the Torah provides you, I can't get out of it. I'm stuck. But now that you're asking for something different,
something worse.
So I'm going to try to take, okay. So why it makes sense, we can talk about it in a second, I am going to take advantage of it. What does all this have to do with the psukim? So the finish of the psukim, according to this, is that this is meitav. This is meitav. But he would be allowed to insist, if you unbain this, that you're taking according to the nisa rate. That's learned out. That's learned out from Yashiv. That's what the drasha of Yashiv would teach me. What's the svara rabosai? Why should he be allowed to do this? So I think the svara is, this is what the chidush Arim explained was. What's the pshat? We'll leave off with this. You'll try to think about it a little bit. What's the pshat in the Torah's requirement of giving Ebus? Why does the Torah require Ebus? So it's based on actually on a Gemara later on. The Chiddush Arim explains, you know why the Torah requires Ebus? Is because the Torah realizes that it is annoying for the Nizak to get paid in land. It's not good to get paid in land. Because who says that land is anywhere near my other fields? I got a little piece of your land that is somewhere. What?
Rashi says this.
Here? Later on.
He says Eitzel Benemis or something along the lines of that.
Yeah, no. This is slightly different. That's why I want the Benemis.
Right.
But in general, you know why the Torah says that if I'm giving land, I should give, I have to give Meitav? It's because the Torah wants to make it as easy as possible for you to sell it. The Torah is not assuming you're going to keep the land. So we want to give you the best piece of Meitav possible, and then you can cash it out. Because it's not ideal to get paid in land, but who says that I need that piece of land or that little piece somewhere over there? Maybe all my fields are over here. So that's why the Torah says Meitav. What's the Chiddush here, Bosai, is if this guy says, I don't want Meitav, I want this land. You know what he's basically saying? I want to keep this land. You want to keep this land, then no dinah Meitav anymore. The whole din of Meitav was to help you get rid of the land because we realize it's annoying to get paid in land. If you want to now go ahead and keep the land because, right, like Rashi said, like you just said, right, because the bayin is next to my field, so what are you showing? I'm looking to get rid of it. Not looking to get rid of it, we're not helping you out extra anymore. Go get your $100. And Rabbi Bryce teaches me that the value of the $100 in Nissan is a legitimate value right now.
Oh, wow.
That he says in the svara. And Yevah says that he's just applying a Gemara. It's really a Gemara later on. But that's the svara. The svara of the Gemara is we have to look back and understand what's Meitav about. Meitav isn't, and that's why it's not a punishment. That's why I was pushing this back when you said, oh, why is he getting punished? Because he has to, it's not a punishment. You have to understand the nature of Meitav. The nature of Meitav is because the Torah realizes it's annoying to get paid in land. You're stuck with it. So the Torah says, make it as easy as possible to sell it. Once you reveal your intentions and say, I don't want that. I want something different. Okay, now you're showing that there's something about that land that appeals to you. We don't have to help you try to sell it. You've chosen that. Maybe you know you're going to get a better price for it. Maybe you know that it's more valuable to you. Maybe you know the guy who lives next door and he's going to pay a premium because he wants to build a swimming pool there. Whatever the factors are, there's something of value to you. Torah says, that case, I feel stupid. As long as you give him $100 of value, and this is considered to be $100 of value, if you have a question, you can ask him. I don't want to limit you up because you have minutes left. That's where the Gemara is coming from. I hope that clarified some of it. We have a...
Two 29.
Do we have a minion?
We need one more person.